For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
It might be interesting and important for you to know.
The Paul Kurtman Show.
People that have some common sense and they're willing to say some things out loud that everybody else is just thinking.
When the left has the government, it's chaos and it's dangerous.
Paul Kurtman.
It's not really about the climate. It's about control.
This is the Paul Kurtman Show on News Talk STL.
And welcome to the Paul Kurtman Show here at 101.9 News Talk STL. In the studio today with Ken Williams.
Good afternoon.
It's a good afternoon. And Ken, you've already been dealing with this stuff all week long.
Yeah.
But now finally, I get to come and join you.
This is fun.
This is going to be the fun week.
Fun on the weekend.
Fun on the weekend. As you know, and as all the listeners know, everything going on in New York City with this DA that's going after Trump. Let's just jump right into this because I talked a little bit with Tony and Katie about this.
I heard that.
Midweek.
That was good. Yeah.
So there are people that say it will never happen. Yeah, this is what the left's doing, but it will never happen. I think you and I might have talked about this a little bit. And they say that whenever they're wanting to talk about whether or not Donald Trump is actually going to get charged or convicted primarily of a crime.
Yeah.
Now, I am of the mind that yes, this actually could happen, not because he deserves it,
right,
but because we are dealing with an entirely corrupt system. And so we would say that can't happen, would never happen, but I'm afraid that it's actually going to happen. What say you?
I say that every single credible individual who's been asked this question in the justice system, in the legal world, says that this is crazy. This should not be happening. This should not even be questioned as to being illegal or not. It's just not. And worldwide, our reputation, and I kind of suggested this about 2 weeks ago with Vic, the people are looking at us and they're saying, you have no longer the right to be the moral compass of legal situations ever again. You are a government that is flawed.
Did you hear the clip? This happened a few weeks ago with Kamala Harris. She was in Africa and she was on a platform, I think, with the president of Kenya, maybe.
I think it might have been Ghana.
Was it Ghana?
Yeah.
And a reporter
It was
asked,
one of the two, yeah.
A reporter asked about this situation and asked if either one of these leaders had any comment to make. And of course, Kamala Harris says, no, I don't really have anything that I should be saying right now. Whereas the president of Ghana says, he starts going on and on talking about the Constitution, how important it is that we follow the laws.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was saying that because he's trying to find a good answer and sound like a leader, or if he was saying that as an kind of an effort to send a message to the people of America, really. Your Constitution matters. Like, the rest of the world has been looking to the United States of America for about 200 years now because we've had a Constitution that has changed our country in terms of our relationship with Britain, who was the original colonizer here in the U.S., and all these other countries, hundreds of other countries at this point now, have modeled their system of government off of what the United States did. So to say that you have to pay attention and carefully guard a system where you govern by the rule of law. And when you listen to what that president said, president of Ghana, when you listen to what he said in light of what's happening right now, clearly, you have one party trying to weaponize all the good things that we've been able to create in this country, governance-wise, and harness that energy and weaponize it like a focused laser beam against their political opposition. And I think the rest of the world sees it. And I think that the idea of the left is they want the world to see it. They want the MAGA Republicans to see it. They want conservatives to see it. They want Christians to see it. They want the rest of the world to know that if you come to the United States of America and you're on the wrong team, we will target you because you are our political enemies. And just like the people on January 6th, and just like we hope to do with Donald Trump, it is our goal and ambition to get you in an orange jumpsuit and get you in jail.
Yeah, it's a severe chilling effect that they want to push over on anyone who's going to be the opposition to them. This thing's happening in New York, Paul, but it has such broader circumstances that are going to, it's going to cause so many problems worldwide. For example, because of the Biden administration allowing this, first of all, to happen, China is stepping in as the authority now, as the negotiator for different, for Saudi Arabia and Iran, for example. They're working deals, they're brokering deals with Saudi and Iran, they're brokering deals with Russia. Let me tell you what the president of Kenya said. He recommends his citizens who hold U.S. dollars to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this.
For the people who work numbers, I am giving you free advice that those of you who are holding dollars, you surely might go into losses. You better do what you must do, because this market is going to be different in a couple of weeks.
Now, Paul, I'm not the economist. I'm not the person who is in the money situations like you are. But maybe you can explain this. China stepped in and is trying to negotiate with Russia and other countries to make their monetary system the standard in the world. Now, can you explain that at all?
So for me, on my end of the pipeline of information, it's a little bit difficult to really make sense of exactly where he's going with this, but this I know. I know that what you just said about China wanting to be, basically China becoming the world's number one influencer.
Yeah.
The U.S., if we haven't yet, we are on the precipice of losing our standing and our influence as a global leader, both in terms of military power and in terms of financial strength and economic power. And so when you have China, now remember, we're going to talk a little bit about this later on. After the fall of Afghanistan, after we pulled out and it was so chaotic and it was an embarrassment and a blunder to say the least, China rolls into Afghanistan within days. That airport there is theirs now. Trump wanted to keep it.
Right.
So we'll talk about this in a little bit when we talk about Biden making excuses for why it went the way that it went.
Oh, God, but I have so much to say about that, but yeah, we'll continue.
We'll definitely get there. That airport now is China's. China has this new economic program that they've rolled out, and I think they're calling it Silk Road. I can't remember the full name that they have for it, but essentially what they're trying to do is they're trying to create a new economic world order. In fact, the president of China, Xi Jinping, said just last month, he actually referred to a new world order where China is at the front. China's at the top. China's the one leading the way. So when you see the president of Kenya say something like this, he's not saying it because Kenya has somehow managed to create this new economic boom that the rest of the world is trying to get in on. Like, Kenya is not the influencer here.
Right.
Kenya is clearly being influenced.
Yeah.
And they're being influenced by China, and China and Russia together kind of create this powerhouse. You see, recently what's happened is the president of India has announced that India is not going to be conducting any trade on the U.S. dollar. Right now, when you have global trade happening, for example, oil, OPEC, whenever oil is being traded and negotiated through OPEC, it's all being done on the U.S. dollar. It's all running on the financial rails of the U.S. dollar. Okay.
Right.
But that's the same way with so much in terms of global trade and the economy. India is now saying that they are going to unpeg from that, and they're only going to conduct trade on the rupee, the Indian rupee. I think it's the rupee. I'm not sure what all these different.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, and I don't know what the Chinese form of currency is. What is it called?
The yuan.
The yuan. And President from Kenya, President William Ruto, he's saying, ladies and gentlemen, in my country, get rid of the dollar. That I've never heard that before. And apparently no one else has for the last 100 years. It's always been the dollar is the standard. Now it's going to be the, what did you call it? The yuan.
Yeah.
I guess I have to get used to that.
You might have to get used to it.
I know.
You might be carrying it in your wallet before too long, Ken, if President Biden stays in power for a second term. But India right now, they've announced, hey, we're going to unpeg from the U.S. dollar. Now, India is not a developed country, but it is classified as a developing country, meaning that it is quickly coming online as a developed, economically developed nation, which means, you know, if they continue down that trend and they've wind up being categorized as fully developed, you'll see them at G8 summits and whatever else if they can do well enough. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if they say they're going to unpeg, if the president of Kenya is saying get rid of your U.S. dollars, how it is that Janet Yellen, the Secretary of the Treasury under the Biden administration, how it is that President Biden himself, how it is that people in this administration are not coming and holding press conference saying here's what we're going to do. Why in the world is it that Jerome Powell hasn't talked about this yet? Because this is like an atom bomb going off in terms of our financial condition as a country.
Is this a conspiracy theory to ask this question? If they are successful in doing this, making the yuan the standard around the world, I was told and I read that this is going to push the United States into a depression.
You know, I think if they were successful by actually unpegging the U.S. dollar from trade, I think it would be very bad for the U.S. It would be, relatively speaking, it would be short-lived. Like, we might see the repercussions of this play out for a few years or several years, but eventually it would correct and it would resolve itself. I don't think, as scary as it is for some people who have money in the market or who are trying to just pay their bills, to hear the president of Kenya say something like this, I still don't believe, not even for a nanosecond, that the president of Kenya is somehow making any decisions that are going to strongly affect the way the U.S. does business, though. Well, I think what it could be, though, is he has information that kind of gives us insight
that,
as to what China's plans are.
Exactly. And what China's doing, China's brokering all these different countries right now.
Yeah.
China's lobbying these countries and saying, okay, here's our plan. Join in. Let us build a free port in your country. Let us take make a truck system in your country. That's that whole Silk Road thing. And then use our form of currency as the standard. That's the problem that I'm having. I'm not having a problem with, you know, Kudo from Kenya saying anything, but it's what he's heard. And then now he's saying that's what's bothering me.
You know, it's like in politics. Sometimes when you want to really scare your opposition, and you do the same thing in war, you don't come right out and release a memo. You get somebody to leak something. You get somebody to signal something. You get somebody with loose lips to say something that might not even be accurate at all, but it scares everybody else to death.
Right.
And I think that what we can see, I actually said this on Mike Ferguson in the Morning on Friday. There are a lot of people who really think like the U.S. is on, you know, the precipice. We're right on the cusp of a great recession or a great depression even. And they think this way because of things happening on the global stage or because of the Biden administration. But the truth is, folks, and find some comfort and confidence in this. As much as the monetary system is manipulated, because we do have a inflationary monetary policy. The whole point is to manipulate it in order to manage its value of the dollar. But the truth is this, we still have a market economy that is still one of the strongest market economies in the world. And even when politicians say things, the market might take a nosedive one day because of something the politician said, but the next day, you might have a Steve Jobs-like character come out and make an announcement, and suddenly the S&P 500 ticks up 4 or 5 points. Why? Because people are voting with their dollar in the U.S. And in America, people vote with their dollar far more than they vote at the ballot box, and that still makes our economy stronger because we have the freedom to do that. Dangerous times ahead? Yeah, absolutely. I think that could really be on the horizon, but I don't think people should be scared into thinking that it's time to start bartering in silver just yet. That day may come. Day may come. I just don't think that I don't think that we're there yet. But I do think that President Biden, Jerome Powell, and Janet Yellen need to start communicating a little bit more with the American people in terms of what it is China has up their sleeve and what it is they're working on. Because, Ken, these issues have a way of snowballing quick. And what we thought was going to take 15 or 20 years, what we thought we had time to get ahead of, turns out we don't, and it's right around the corner And then before too long, it's knocking on our door.
So, Paul, you say that you're bullish on America then, huh?
I am bullish on America.
Okay.
I love right. America
I believe
still.
You.
Yeah.
I believe you.
I'm bullish on freedom. We need more freedom. We need
do.
A trend in the direction
yes,
of more freedom to make this really work and last.
We need Trump.
Yeah. Hey, we'll be back here in just a couple minutes. I want to talk a little bit about the woke culture. It's taking so much head ground in America. Ken, this is going to be a good conversation with you. Join us here in just a few minutes. 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
Follow Paul on social media at Paul Kirkman. This is the Paul Kirkman Show on News Talk STL. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. You're listening to The Paul Kirkman Show on News Talk STL.
And welcome back to The Paul Kirkman Show. We're going to talk a little bit about the culture in America right now. This, I'm reading right off the internet. Last Friday, Dylan Mulvaney put out a post about, quote, feeling very visible in the past year, end quote. It was Trans Day of Visibility, and the celebrity influencer and trans rights activist was grateful for the opportunities she had received. Quote, we need to exist in every space. I want trans people doing all the brand deals, end quote. So, Dylan Mulvaney is a man who impersonates women. And Dylan Mulvaney is a trans rights activist who most probably famously came to the spotlight of the American public when he dressed as a woman, goes in to visit President Biden, and at the White House as an ambassador for America or whatever, you know, between trans people and the White House, whatever it is. And then most recently this week, it was announced that Dylan Mulvaney's face would be gracing the beer cans of Budweiser.
Mm-hmm.
And this has prompted such an enormous backlash that now you see people who have not really weighed into this issue before are now beginning to weigh into the issue. Travis Tritt, country music star, has written some several songs, music, since the 80s, and he's still out there touring.
Huge. He's country
big.
Royalty, apparently. I'm not a big country music fan, but I've heard that.
He and others are beginning to drop Budweiser from part of the vendors whenever they tour, you know, whether that means people in the stands are going to be allowed to buy or whether that means that they're going to use it as part of their organization as they're touring. I'm not exactly sure, but he has been very public about that. Kid Rock. Did you see this video of Kid Rock?
Yeah. Yes.
Setting up a Budweiser can and shooting it with an AR-15.
Well, actually, he shot up about three cases, I think.
Okay. It's better than I thought. He likes to shoot things. That's fine with me. Kid Rock out shooting on video. And then Dylan Mulvaney, not just Budweiser, but in the same week, Nike.
Okay, I got to say something about that. I want to tell you a little quick story. We talk about how people really aren't getting the message and how these they call them quote unquote air quotes influencers, which I hate that term, but these influencers are influencing everyone. That is untrue. Okay. Dylan Mulvaney is doing something that a small group of people enjoy, but most of us don't. My wife, I told her about this whole thing where he is the new spokesperson for Kotex and for Nike sports bras. He's a man. He has male genitalia. He has no breasts. He has hair on his chest. He has a shadow in his face. I told her he was the new spokesman for Tampax and the sports bras from Nike. She called me a liar. She laughed. She goes, you're lying. You are lying. There's no way this is happening. My wife's apolitical. She doesn't research the news like we do. She never heard this before. When she looked it up, she laughed so hard. She goes, this is a joke, right? And I go, no, this is real.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're talking about. They're trying to influence people slowly like this.
And I'll tell you what, they want people to think that it's a joke so they actually don't go look it up, so they actually don't go and get involved and get active and start speaking out about it. I remember on Real Time with Bill Maher, this was probably, I think this was in 2016, he had Dennis Prager on his show, and they were talking about the whole kind of, and this was like really at the very beginning of the trans activism really kind of going mainstream. This was right around the time where they were saying you need to have gender neutral bathrooms, and Target decided to take the men's and women's signs off the bathroom. Their stocks, the shares of their stock plunged. They've been plunging ever since, by the way.
I stopped showing up there. I mean, for a while, till they stopped all that.
We got a memo from the Barack Obama administration basically threatening to withhold funds from public schools unless public schools went to gender-neutral bathrooms and locker rooms. We had to push back against that.
Yep.
And to his credit, Democrat Clint Zweifel, I think he might have pushed back against that. I'm trying to remember. Maybe it was another issue that the Obama administration was trying to push. But anyway, the state had to push back against that. This issue has taken so much ground so incredibly fast that it's left people with their heads spinning. What I was going to say is in 2016, on Bill Maher's show, he had Dennis Prager. Dennis Prager actually said, before too long, you're going to see men using women's hygiene products, and they're going to make the case that they ought to be able to have access to them just, you know, for like a government subsidy, just like low-income women do. And Bill Maher and the whole crowd almost laughed Dennis Prager right out of the studio. And it didn't take but just about 3 years until they were making the case that men, genetic men, actually have the same issues that women do month to month because they're women, right? We have gone so far to the point now that you have a man. And the thing is, clearly a guy. Clearly a guy.
Yeah, Paul.
The face of women's Nike products and other women's products, the face all over Budweiser. And I never thought we'd actually be having a culture war to this. I remember Bill O'Reilly talking about the culture war. It's a war on Christmas. People don't want to say Christmas. Tell you what, this makes that look like a Sunday school picnic.
Yeah, it's a war on words. If you control words, you control thought.
Yep.
And what they're trying to do right now is control the word game. And what we need to do is not play the word game. And that means when they say LGBTQIA plus whatever, and nobody knows what that means, just call them the Alphabet Soup Club. That's all you need to do. And then they say, well, I'm offended by that. You shouldn't be calling me that. Yes, I can. I can call you whatever I want. You may be offended, but you can go ahead and do whatever you want, but don't offend me. And I'm not going to have to play your game. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. This is about a man calling himself a woman, even though he's still a man. And a woman saying she's a man that gets pregnant, but she's just a woman. When you need Tampax, then you're a woman. You might have a beard. You might have had your breasts shaved off, but you're still a woman. You're genetically a female.
There was, do you remember about 10 years ago, there was this Navy SEAL who made a lot of headway by coming out as transgender? You remember this?
Yeah.
I think his name is Chris. Was his name Chris Beck? I'm trying to remember. The name, that name sticks in my mind. Here he is, a combat veteran. He'd been a Navy SEAL since like the early 90s or maybe the late 80s. I'm not sure. Combat veteran. There's pictures of him over in Iraq with his beard, like muscled up, scruffy. And then all of a sudden he's wearing a dress with his Navy SEAL trident and a Purple Heart and his bronze star, you know, on a pantsuit. And so... And this was like exactly what the left wanted. They were like, yeah, we've got one of the toughest warriors in America coming out as transgender. Well, recently he detransitioned. And in a podcast, he told a fellow Navy SEAL, he said, it was ludicrous. It was crazy. It was insane. He goes, I wasn't a woman. I've never been a woman. It would be impossible for me to be a woman. He goes, I was just dealing with things.
PTSD, right?
That I needed help with.
Right.
And instead of offering him the help that he needed, the left attached themselves to the issues, the real serious issues, And this is the direction that they helped him go. And Dylan Mulvaney, though, he's their celebrity. This is what they do. They take people that are sick and they tell them it's okay for you to be sick.
Right. That's exactly what this is. This is a mental health issue. And before I say this, I'm going to tell you, my email address is ken@newstalkstl.com. If you have a problem with what I'm saying, just email me and we can either talk about it or you can just give me some bad information. But I'm just saying, this is false information. All it is, it's the transgender thing is an illness. It's a mental illness. We have a deficiency in mental health in this country. And we have to get that addressed first. When they talk about it's the guns. It's not the guns. It's mental health problems in this country. When he had PTSD, that drove him. His mind was so malleable, like we talk about with the kids, that he was driven to become a woman for a short time. Children are very easily influenced. And this is the problem we have with drag people. There have been drag queens for decades. We've never had a problem. When we started having the problem was when they started exposing their genitalia to children. Then we had the problem.
I've got a problem with it. I just got a problem with it. So you take people that are like this Navy SEAL, right? Suffering from, admittedly, himself says it. I was not in the right state of mind. I was not a woman. I can't be a woman. It was ridiculous, right?
Right.
You take people that are dealing with a mental issue or a dysphoria, right? This is, even they call it gender dysphoria. Like the report that Ben Shapiro is famous for talking about from Johns Hopkins University, even they're going into it and they're saying this is gender dysphoria. A lot of this is brought on, especially among men. I remember watching this clip of Ben Shapiro talking about it, and I went and actually looked up this report because I wanted to read it too.
Yeah.
And it said in there that where men are concerned, a lot of this goes back to a sexual feeling or fantasy or something that gets them ultimately on this road, right?
Right.
So I think that you have people that are suffering from a mental illness, but the agenda behind it, the agenda of the left that's using these people as their tools.
That's all it is.
To get in front of the children.
Yes.
That's the difference between somebody who's mentally ill, they need some help, they need to be told it's okay, you are who you are. There used to be a time where the left was saying, be happy with who you are. Not anymore.
No.
They're saying, be happy being somebody else. Just steal someone else's identity, be happy with that. But there's a difference between these people who are dealing with these issues and the agenda behind it that is straight up out of the pits of hell evil.
Right.
Trying to get these people in front of children, using them as tools to get them in front of kids to corrupt children and the youth and literally just rob them of their innocence. And the parents who are okay with taking your kids to a drag show where some man comes out wearing prosthetics, almost stark naked, with all the colors of the rainbow across his face, so much makeup. Even Hollywood, with all the filth that they've put out for decades, they still have a rating system that says, hey, this is not something you should probably bring your kids to.
Yeah.
But we got parents in the area, even in the St. Louis area, who are saying, no. Since I'm the parent, if I'm the parent, it must be okay as long as I'm there. And let's just take these kids to essentially a strip show by people impersonating the other gender. And they think that it's going to be totally harmless, and they're wrong.
And let me clarify, when I say it's okay, I'm saying that you do you. As an adult, I'm saying you do you. We're in America. If you want to be that freak, you go ahead and freak your right flat, wave your freak flag, as they put it. Yeah. That's fine. That's you. As long as you don't involve children. Once you do that, it's a different deal, and it's when we step in. And we should be stepping in. I don't care if a parent's there or not. That kid is going to be indoctrinated, groomed for what they're trying to put in front of them.
You know, if parents are giving their kids alcohol, they can face charges. If parents are giving their kids illegal substances, if they're giving their kids legal substances, but just that children should not have, they could face charges for that. And for whatever reason, parents are just dropping the ball in terms of protecting their children. And I get it. And I know what you're saying. Like, this is America. You do you. And I am the same way. That's the libertarian in me.
Right.
Coming out and saying, do what you want to do. It's America. It's a free country, because that also gives me the freedom to do what I want to do. So, like, I'm right there with you. But at some point, people have got to start considering the philosophy of morality and how that actually shapes not just their family, but future generations. It, like, people will say you're old-fashioned. That just seems really authoritarian. It's not authoritarian to say that individuals should be considering morality on their own. George Washington said that religion and morality are indispensable supports of freedom, meaning that you have to be able to regulate yourself, have some discipline, and do the right thing so the government doesn't have to come in and do it for you.
Right.
These types of things will get us on the road where we start clamoring and begging for more government. Believe it or not, it's happened. It's not, America's not the first to go through something like this and see this kind of thing play out in our culture and what it brings down on the other side of that pipe. Hey, we're going to be back here in just a couple minutes right here on the Paul Kerbin Show. 101.9, 94.1, News Talk STL.
Follow Paul on social media at Paul Kerbin. You're listening to The Paul Kerbin Show on News Talk STL. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. This is The Paul Kerbin Show on News Talk STL.
Finally, let me say one thing. This is the only man that our enemies feared. Donald Trump is the only man that our enemies feared.
There you have it. That's Jeanine Pirro. And she's saying what the rest of us have been saying for a long time. Donald Trump is exactly the person, the top of the list of who it is that the left fears in America. Welcome back to the Paul Kerbin Show. Ken, did she hit the nail on the head, or did she hit the nail on the head?
Go judge Jeanine.
You know, there's a reason. There's a reason that you got this DA in New York pulling out all the stops. And he is corrupt as the day is long to make sure that everybody else is part of this whole scheme. And I'm telling you, they want to get Donald Trump in an orange jumpsuit. They want him in handcuffs because they want to demonstrate to the rest of America that this could be you. You could be next if you cross us.
A chilling effect. And I pose this question. If they're so confident that Joe Biden's going to win, if they've got that 81 million votes that they had in 2020, why are they trying so hard to get rid of Donald Trump? Because I guarantee you this, if Donald Trump walked up to the podium today and said, listen, I thought about it, talked with my wife, I'm not going to continue to run for president. Everything would stop. Every single thing that they're trying to do to this man would stop. And that should tell you immediately that they're corrupt.
They're corrupt. I don't know. I might disagree with you. I think they'd keep doing it because they want me and you to never think that we can actually call them out.
You're right. No, you know what? He just convinced me.
They're doing this. Yep. They're doing this to him to send a message to us.
Okay.
That's what they're doing. That's where I think they're coming from.
I could see that for sure.
I think they hate Donald Trump for sure, but I think they hate the fact that so many people voted for him instead of their guy. And so it's not just Donald Trump. It's the rest of us. We got that other clip?
Yeah.
Mr. Secretary, how many American citizens and licensed permanent residents are in Afghanistan today, and are any of them currently being held hostage by the Taliban?
Congressman, there are several Americans who are being detained by the Taliban. We are working to secure their freedom. The families have asked that we protect their identities and don't speak publicly to their cases.
Now, those are being detained. How many other Americans?
There are approximately, let me put it this way, since August 31st of last year, we have helped about 975 American citizens who wished to leave Afghanistan do so. As we speak, Americans who identify themselves to us, American citizens who identify themselves to us who are in Afghanistan, some of whom have been there since the withdrawal, some of whom went back to Afghanistan. There are about that we're in contact with, about 175. 44 of them are ready to leave.
Right, 44 are ready to leave. But there's about 900, he said, that have, since the fall, he said there was like 900.
Something like
900.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So going back to the first clip from Jeanine Pirro, we're going to tie that together with this whole thing about Afghanistan. What Jeanine Pirro said is Donald Trump, basically, he's number one on the list. They hate the guy. They're coming after him. When you see what happened with this press conference this week regarding Afghanistan, they're not accountable for anything. They're not responsible for anything. They're pointing the finger. Every time anything comes up, they point the finger back at Donald Trump. Because like Jeanine Pirro said, this is the only man that our enemies fear. And this is who they need to send a message. This is the example that they're going to make is with Donald Trump. So even with a situation like the fall of Afghanistan, and who was the president for the 8 months preceding the fall of Afghanistan? It was Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And in that clip, or in other clips that we've played before, Joe Biden, out of his own mouth, during this press conference, Anthony Blinken says, hey, Donald Trump, he was the one negotiating with the Taliban. He was the one doing this. And so we had to do what we did. Our hands were tied because this is what they said. This is what Blinken says. He goes, because if we decided to go back and reopen the negotiations, the Taliban said they would start killing Americans. Well, that's when you drop another mother of all bombs. We have it. They don't. We have a new president, a new commander in chief. If it's time to reopen negotiations, we're the one with the muscle. We're the ones with the firepower, with the armaments. We get to decide whether or not we reopen negotiations, not the Taliban. So see, it's constantly pointing everything back at Donald Trump because the Democrats hear no evil, speak no evil, whatever the other one is, say no evil. No. That's all coming from Donald Trump. We're just here trying to pick up the pieces.
Well, look what Kirby and Mike Flynn just called him, you know, like Baghdad Bob.
Uh-huh.
Cobble Kirby.
Once you turn it over, it's just like what we're doing in Ukraine. We give Ukraine artillery ammunition, Stinger anti-air missiles, Javelin anti-tank. It's their stuff at that point, not the Americans. It's their stuff. That stuff belonged to the Afghans. And so this idea, this argument is just ludicrous that we left millions of dollars of stuff in Afghanistan.
Millions.
We didn't.
Not billions.
We turned it over, as the previous administration would have done too, because part of their thinking was they were going to have to turn this material over. It was turned over appropriately and carefully and deliberately with the Afghan National Security Defense Forces.
Paul, do you ever remember in the last 2.5-3 years that Joe Biden's been president of the United States that he has taken accountability for anything?
No, he's not taking accountability for anything. That statement is absolutely absurd. Yeah, when we give weapons to the Ukrainians, it's the Ukrainians. What we did in Afghanistan is we literally walked out of bases that we were controlling with our Humvees, with our helicopters, with our airplanes, with our M4s, with our small arms and ammunition and not rocket-propelled grenades, but AT-4 anti-tank missiles and everything else. It was ours, and we walked out without it. In fact, there was a picture, there was a reporter that made his way onto one of these U.S. bases over there in the weeks after the withdrawal of Afghanistan. And he walks into dorm rooms and barracks, not dorm rooms, but he walks into barracks rooms, and there on beds, on walls, are things that soldiers and airmen and Marines just had because that's how they're trying to make a comfortable life. There was bedding. There's posters on the wall. There's keyboards. There's headphones, things that they would have used. There's computers. It was ours. It was all ours. We didn't give this stuff. There's not a single Afghani that was trained to fly a helicopter that we were giving them helicopters and letting them fly around in our Blackhawks. No. We just left that there. Kirby is a liar.
Let's really be clear here, because Joe Biden is so weak, so unaccountable for everything, and all he did was sick his dogs on the media this week and say, no, it's all Donald Trump. You guys know this, and when you go to vote in 2024. Remember, it was all Donald Trump. That is a blatant lie. He's a liar. They're all a bunch of liars. And I can tell you, Donald Trump, first of all, he did have an exit plan. He did not want to be there. But his exit plan did not have a date. Mm-hmm. His exit plan required that the airports stay in the hands of the American people and of the military, American military. China would have had nothing to do with it then. We would still have a presence there controlling the situation. He wanted to move out first the American people, then the people in Afghanistan, the Afghanis who helped the soldiers, then the equipment, finally the military that was there that was not going to stay there was going to be removed. And he didn't have a timeline on this. Let's be clear. Donald Trump did not have a timeline. Do you remember now what Joe Biden did? Because Joe Biden killed 13 Americans right off the bat, including Jared Schmitz.
You remember in that press conference, that clip we just played, who was it? Was it Blinken, I think, saying, well, we're not going to give the names out of these American citizens to protect them. Was that Blinken or Kirby? I can't remember which one.
I think it was Blinken.
Blinken said, we're not going to give the names out of these Americans. Do you remember during the withdrawal of Afghanistan how we actually gave a whole list
yes.
of the names of Americans directly to the Taliban? We asked them to provide security for the withdrawal effort. And so to say that we're
our not military gonna, gave them that list.
We gave them the list. We gave them a shopping list.
Complete list.
Of people to go kill and assassinate. And believe you me, if you've been watching some of these Twitter feeds and different things that were playing on social media in the wake of that terrible disaster that the administration likes to refer to as their withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Yeah.
There's gunfire going off as the Taliban is going door to door looking for people that they're ready to kill because they're taking power again. So this is probably the most, thanks to the media and the new media and alternative forms of media, social media, this is probably the most obvious and apparent in-your-face attempt at gaslighting the American people that any president has ever had the nerve to do. And the thing is they're completely unfazed by the fact that we're onto them. They just keep going. They just keep telling the same lies over and over and over again. And I know I've been like really coming down hard on the left here, but the Republicans are not out of the woods where I'm concerned. Because we've got Republicans still introducing bills to name post offices when there is so much accountability that needs to be. I think we need to have a complete moratorium on all these warm and fuzzy pieces of legislation and all these warm and fuzzy resolutions.
Absolutely.
Because the warm and fuzzy feeling in America has left a long time ago as we're trying to deal with the chaos and the aftermath of this type of leftist administration ruining our dollar, ruining our economy, being totally AWOL in the process. You got people like Buttigieg who can't even be found when we're trying to get products from the ports to the shelves just so Americans can buy baby formula for their kids. And then when we have a railway disaster, nobody wants to show up. A whole city in Ohio completely pushed out of their homes because of this railroad disaster. And Buttigieg, where's he? He's having private time in Europe, and Biden doesn't even want to come out. So
East Palestine, Palestine, whatever it is, East Palestine, Ohio, Biden hasn't even visited there yet. And it's been almost 2 months now.
I'm trying to think of a single issue that this administration has touched in order to actually improve and lead on, and I can't think of a single one. And this is so familiar, and it's terrifying too, because when President Trump was in office and the Democrats had the Senate and the House, I can't think of a single issue that they actually touched and tried to lead on. Instead, they focused their time on impeaching Donald Trump, not once, but twice. I mean, Ken, by the grace of God, this country is being held together at all. And other than that, that's what I have to say, because I can't explain it any other way, because it's like the left is trying to take us straight down the path of authoritarianism and financial ruin, and the right's not even being the check and accountability that they're supposed to be.
And Trump knows this stuff, Paul. This is the reason why this man is trying. He could have stopped. He could have went on with his life and made billions of dollars and had a great time doing it, I'm sure, on luxury yachts and just you know, traveling around the country saying, I'm Donald Trump, you know, stay in my hotel. He could have done it. He gave away his money. He lost. He actually, when those tax returns came out, yeah, we found out about his tax returns. You know what? He wasn't making as much money. But, you know, when he was in office as president of the United States, he lost money.
Yeah, and I know he was donating his salary back. He was giving that away.
Yeah, he gave it to various groups of veterans and such.
You know, Donald Trump loves attention. Everybody knows that. Everybody sure. knows he loves attention, right? But the thing is he's decided to forego the positive, feel-good energy that you get when you host Apprentice or Celebrity Apprentice. He's willing to be hated to do what he thinks is right.
Right.
And right now, we need more people in Congress, more people that campaign and talk about putting America first to actually start doing what they said they were going to do when they were campaigning and begging people for their votes. That's just how I feel.
Hey, man, I'm down with it. You're letting everybody know exactly how you feel, and that's what I love about it.
Hey, listen, if you want to follow me on Facebook or social media, at Paul Kurtman, if you want to get on my market newsletter, because I am a registered investment advisor here in the state of Missouri, turbulent times in the economy and in the markets, better to have it, not need it, than need it, not have it, prkurtman.com. You can sign up for that weekly market newsletter there. Ken, good to be with you today.
Yeah, good to be with you. And it's prkurtman.com, right?
prkurtman.com. P-R-C-U-R-T-M-A-N. And we will be back for the Paul Kurtman Show right here at 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL next Saturday from 12 to 1.
Follow Paul on social media at Paul Kurtman. This is the Paul Kurtman Show on News Talk STL. For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.